1970, as we move through, in February, Instant Karma, which was top five, both here and in, or rather, I say here because we're here in America, here in America and in Britain as well. And you actually appeared on Top of the Pops. That was the first appearance by anybody connected with the Beatles for quite a while, wasn't it?
It was great. I love being first. Mm-hmm. Now, we were talking about this last night. It's amazing.
How did you feel about doing Top of the Pops
it was
after
great.
Quite a time gap?
I love it. You know, I missed the... again, I was talking to Yoko about the cabin today because there was two girls standing outside our apartment today. And they've been standing off and on for the last 5 years, right through the so-called hiatus, you know, when I was supposed to be buried alive with Mike Howard Hughes. And I'd talk to them, you know, I'd say hi, I said, I saw you running across the park and all that. And as we got in the car, I said, Yoko, you know, this is like the cabin. That's how we were with the fans, you know. They'd be at the door as we went in at lunchtime, and they'd say, hey, John, will you sing, Sweet Little 16 for Margie and Pam, you know? And it was on that level. I said, that's the kind of thing I miss, with the direct communication where you could talk to the audience. Yeah. And you get in that sort of Madison Square, Shea Stadium business where you have to over-act, you know, you have to act like 18th century actors of grand drama, which is not my shtick. And I like that direct communication. That's why I like radio too. And I enjoyed the Instant Karma thing because they're the people right there. And we were talking about the fact that she was knitting. You see, because we did everything together. Now, she wasn't singing on Instant Karma, so I'm doing Instant Karma live. It was a backing tape with live vocal, I think. And she's just sitting there knitting this scarf. And there was some review the next day. How dare she sit there knitting, you know? But we wanted to be together. And her contribution to that event, instead of having a smoke bomb or a coloured light, a psychedelic light, Yoko Ono knitted. Yeah. You see, and what are they doing? There's a film of that. I wish I could get hold of it.
Knitting is something very interesting. I mean, it's almost like sort of knitting a web or whatever, you know, a web of the mind and all that, you know. Something to it, really.
It's kind of meditation, I think it's a...
Yeah, I've tried it and I'm a desperate failure. We won't go into that. I'm useless with a couple.
I used to do embroidery, and my auntie told me how to do little flowers and things like that.
Power to the People, another one to add to the collection. Any memories of that now? It's not that long ago, really, but it's nine years as we sit here in this...
Seems hell long.
December day in 1980. Does it seem a hell of a long time ago to you?
Oh, it just seems like Power to the People. Wasn't that the First World War? No, it wasn't. Anyway, I remember that that was the sort of the expression going round those days, and Tariq Ali had kept coming round wanting money for the Red Mole or some magazine, you know. And I used to give anybody that was sort of left field, avant-garde, or so in the art field or the political field, money, kind of out of guilt as well, because I was thinking, well, I'm working class and I'm not one of them, but I'm rich, so therefore I have to. So anytime somebody said something, I would fork out, you know. And he was hustling for whatever he was hustling for. And I kind of wrote Power to the People in a way, kind of as a guilt song, you know? Sort of, I better do that, you know?
But incidentally, we heard it last night just by accident, sort of.
Good intro.
And it's very heavy.